be great if you kept moving and get to the beach. And when they lowered that ramp, the Germans would zero in on the landing craft opening and go right after you when the ramp goes down. And I was one of the last guys off on our landing craft because I was in the back. And I just remember going in and that I felt the water was cold. I remember having a feeling of being the water cold. And then that was it. And then I said, I got to move. And you're carrying about 80 pounds. And you try to move, but you can't move as fast as you want. And there's a lot of bullets zipping around and ricochets coming. And then the first thing I knew, a shell hit near me. And the concussion knocked me down underwater. But I came back up and kept moving. And then a machine gun opened up right in, I'd say maybe a little more than an arm's length in front of me, and it just spit off, I don't know, about 50, 60 rounds right in front of me. And I said to myself, wow, you're trying to get old Jackie Burke. And that was, then I started to having a little emotional response. I saw some guys dropping in the water, getting hit, and you're not supposed to stop. You keep moving, and then you hear guys yelling, and you see some guys getting hit up on the beach, and guys screaming, keep moving, don't stop. And I got up on the sand, and there was a lot of rocks on the beach, and ran up and finally got to the seawall. And there were about five or six guys in my company there. We started yakking about something, I don't know, was nonsense. Cutting the vests off, I don't know what you call them, life vests. We cut those off and got ourselves together, and then we knew we had to get off the beach, and screaming and the noise and the artillery coming in, is just, you never forget those sounds ever. And a lot of casualties, and I heard them yell for the Bangalore men. Those are the guys that, with the pipes that have dynamite or C2 in them, and they blew the wires that were there, the concertina wires that the Germans had. It was about 6 feet tall. They blew that so we could get up the cliffs. And we proceeded to go up. And finally got up to the top, and things quieted down a little bit. And I reached for my canteen to get a drink of water. There was a little hole right up there, and I reached, got my canteen out. It had a hole in it. So I guess a piece of shrapnel or something, that a bullet had knocked a hole in it. And then we got ourselves all organized in our platoon, and we dug in more or less to fight them off, and they counterattacked us, I think, about three or four times during the night. And we held our territory. We were supposed to cut off Verville Road. The Verville Road, the town of Verville on Omaha, was the key village. And we had to cut that road off so that the Germans couldn't supply it from Cherbourg, which was their seaport town. Mm-hmm. And we cut that off, and we knocked out a gun battery up there. And but we couldn't find out where the artillery was coming from, because we knocked out those guns. They were all in an orchard behind Pointe du Hoc, and two or three fellows from the 2nd Battalion knocked those out with thermite grenades. That was about 8:30 in the morning, but all day long we were getting artillery, but we didn't know where it was coming from. Two or three days later, we found out it was the Maisie Battery. We knocked that one out. It was a huge battery behind Grand Camp. And we knocked that out on June the 9th. But we didn't secure Vareville, Omaha, and Point de Hoc until the morning of the 8th. It was really secure. Mm-hmm. And we're very fortunate that Hitler didn't turn his panzers, the armor, loose, which was sitting over by Caen, because if they did on D9, they'd have pushed us right back in the channel. We'd lost. Mm-hmm. That was just one of the fortunate parts of war. I mean, his mistake was our victory. Mm-hmm. And his generals wanted him to release it, but he didn't. He thought that Omaha was more or less a fainting action, and the real invasion was to go down in Calais, which they had worked to fool the Germans.
Right.
And land there. So that part worked, and fortunate for us, there's no doubt in my mind, and I would bet every nickel anybody had on that beach that we would have gone back if they'd turned the armor loose, because we didn't have anything to stop them. Mm-hmm. So we secured that, and I say we, the 29th, the 1st Division, the Rangers, the Engineers, and who else was there, secured that area on June the 9th. And the plan was, and I'll back up now, they said we would meet light resistance mm-hmm. when we were being briefed, that the troops were not seasoned and they were old men and they'd give up, and our bombers would bomb the beach and they couldn't. Now, our bombers were bombing inland. They weren't bombing our beach. Mm-hmm. The Navy is the thing that saved us. Firing. The Germans that were there came from the Eastern Front, some of them, and they were good fighters. Germans were very good fighters, and they gave up strong resistance, and it took us 2 days to secure that beach. And it was with one terrific amount of casualties. I think it was something like 4,000 killed, 10,000 casualties. Yeah. Just meant my phone's ringing. Hold it. I'll get my secretary to get it. Okay. Our wife will answer. Go ahead.
Okay, and so with the capture of Maisie Battery, is it true that that was a lot bigger of kind of like a bigger deal than it was actually on D-Day? Was there more resistance and everything?
Was it what?
When you were trying to secure Maisie Battery.
Yeah.
Was that a bigger deal, or was that harder than actually on D-Day?
Yeah, our captain, well, he was a lieutenant then. Lieutenant Parker said it was capturing Maisie was tougher than D-Day. Mm-hmm. When we captured Maisie.
Why do you think it's so, like, not many people know about it then? It's not as well known as D-Day was.
That's a good question. I don't know. When we didn't know Maisie Battery existed either. Mm-hmm. And on June the 9th in the nighttime, we were outside of Grand Camp, and the 29th Division was taking Grand Camp. And we went around the side of it, and we were given the objective of knocking out Maisie Battery on June the 9th. We'd never heard of it. That's the mystery to us. Why hadn't we heard about it? And we had another assignment prior to that. And we can find in the archives today that the British knew about Maisie. Yeah. The Air Force knew about Maisie. During the invasion, some of the British ships and the American ships were returning fire on Maisie because they were firing at them. We never heard about it until June the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our mystery is, why weren't we told about it when we were briefed?
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to go after Omaha and that Fairville area was secure and Point de Hoc. We were to go up towards, in the direction of Carentan, where the paratroopers landed, to link up with the paratroopers. Well, paratroopers had been dropped around Maisie, too. But they told, somebody told our colonel that go up there and knock out Maisie. I cannot answer your question other than telling you what I just said.
Yeah.
We considered it a mystery, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was a big battery. I found out, you don't realize it when you do things like capturing a town, or you only see the part that you're involved in. I have since found out, we hit the battery from the front, our company, and the two companies hit it from the side. We flanked the whole thing. Surrounded them and attacked them, and we went about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I think it took us to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And about, I went back and looked at it recently,
mm-hmm.
a year ago, and I have found out that that's 144 acres.
Really?
Battery. They have underground hospital. They had headquarters there for more than just the battery. They had shells underground storage. They had 155s, 105s, 88s back of them. But we didn't know about it.
Yeah.
So that's Maisie. We took it and I think they we had that place secure about 4 o'clock by four o'clock in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and it was tough fighting up there because they had underground trenches,
mm-hmm.
and they could go from tunnels to tunnels. And we you have to route them out.
Right.
So that was it.
Wow.
How'd you know about Maisie?
Well, I've read many articles that you've been quoted in. So
you're the first person.
Really?
You're the first person has ever asked me about Maisie, and congratulations, because somebody covered it up.
Yeah, well, they've just discovered it just a couple of years ago, right? Where they really found it.
Yeah, why did they cover it up? Who covered it up?
Right, you don't know the answer to that, right?
Farmers can't cover up 144 acres with a shovel. You
right.
got a lot of mechanized stuff.
Right.
I think the engineers covered it up.
Why do you think that?
Yeah.
Why do you, what do you think their reasoning behind that would have been?
Why?
Yeah.
I can say this now. I think they covered it up to, well, the guns were on Point de Hoc.
Mm-hmm.
So people had egg on their face.
Right.
Which they sent the Rangers up on the Point de Hoc, and the guns are over in an orchard.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe intelligence, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or lack of. That's my opinion.
So then after...
But congratulations again, Jen.
Oh, thank you. There's so many articles on you online, and I read all of them. They're very interesting.
Yeah, go ahead. You're very knowledgeable.
So where did you go after that?
After that, we went over to a... I remember we marched down... We marched, naturally. We went down into a... it was about 4 or 5 o'clock. We left there, Maisie, and we went down into a forest. I think it was called the Cerise... Why I remember these things, I don't know. The Cerise Forest. And we bivouacked in there, and we were, had to account for all our wounded guys and how many guys we had left. And that night, somebody found some calvados. You know what calvados is?
No.
It's a, I guess you could call it a, an alcohol, a beverage, a senior beverage,
yeah,
that they make out of potatoes, and they make it out of apples, and they make it out, and they let it ferment, and it comes like hard, and it gets alcohol.
Right.
And some guy found that, and we sat there and drank that. And that night, the Luftwaffe came over, the Germans came over and bombed us, and I didn't even remember. But anyway, we were there, and then they said they were going to pull us off the line because we had not get replacements to take care of the guys who were either wounded or killed. And in the meantime, they're not going to let you just sit there. They gave us the job of taking all the captured, naturally, the prisoners, mm-hmm. and frisking them and taking them down to the, walking them all the way back down to the beach. And that was about 5 miles, I think, then. So we'd make a couple of trips a day, 5 miles down, 5 miles back. And that is probably the area where, at the time where I made my big mistake. I could have taken a lot of souvenirs from those guys, but I didn't. I could have taken a lot later, but some of those things are selling for $4,000 or $5,000 a piece now. But anyway, we stayed there, ran prisoners back, and then we. For about a week, and then we were going to change direction, I think, and then Patton came in. I can't pull the months or the days, mm-hmm. but when he came in, we were going to go down to, we got replacements and we trained them. We were up by St. Lo, St. Lo, when they bombed that. Mm-hmm. And I have since been back to St. Lo, and that place was all dust.
Really?
Town was dust. The only thing that was standing that was in good shape was the cathedral. And I went back into the cathedral and went to Mass there. And when we were there, they had this big, like a baptismal bowl, and it's metal. And the shrapnel hole is still in it.
Really?
And the, yeah. And there are bullet holes. There's one unexploded shell in the wall they left.
Wow.
But the town itself was absolutely disseminated. We were pulled out and off the line and went down to Brest. And we fought down in Brest. Took us, I think, 35 days to capture Brest. And we fought down there. They had to capture the submarine pens. That's where all the German submarines were. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And I'll never forget Lieutenant Parker. He came out of one of those officers' billets after we captured them. and he had on the German leather officer coat and a German officer's hat, and we saluted him. And he had to take the leather coat off. He said it was too heavy. But Brest was, we had a lot of casualties up in Brest. Mm-hmm. The question is, why did we go down and fight in Brest? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You could have, I think, cut that whole peninsula off with armor and let them starve. And they'd come up and surrender.
Right.
I don't know why we had to go down there and lose all these men. And not just us. I think it was the 8th Division, the 4th Division, the 29th Division.
Wow.
There were others down there. I can't remember all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And two Ranger Battalions, 2nd and the 5th. And, well, after that, then we went up to Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in October. And a miracle happened. We got our first shower. It was our first shower.
Wow.
Since the 1st of June.
Wow.
But we could bathe in creeks, you know.
Right.
But we had a hot shower up there.
Where was that?
It was in Arlon, Belgium. It was actually in a monastery.
Oh.
We were in a monastery.
Yeah.
And it was about not too far from Bastogne.
Mm-hmm.
But we were then pulled up, and we were in a place in Germany, Ludweiler, Nancy. Nancy's in France, but a small town fighting, but a lot of street fighting up there. And let's see, then the Battle of the Bulgehead. We were on the fringe of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told to stay where we were so they wouldn't flank them, flank the troops. So we didn't get the brunt of the bulge.
Mm-hmm.
My brother did. That's when my brother was killed up there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was bad news. But anyway, after that, I think it was around Christmas, they pulled us off the line, and I think the 29th Division or somebody like that came up and replaced us.
Mm-hmm.
And they took us back to Metz, and we had hot food for the first time since, well, we had some hot food in Belgium,
mm-hmm.
but we had hot food there, and then we went back up on the line again. And that's when we got cut off up in, we crossed the Saar.
Mm-hmm.
I had March, let's see. That was in February, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we were given, we were told, and these were the words, quote, the colonel said, we're going to have a real ranger mission. We have a 48-hour mission. We're going to go across the Saar. We're going up to climb up this mountain hill, and we're going to go across it. We're going to go through the 104th Infantry Division, and then we're going to go through the German lines, and we're going to cut off the Erzurf Road, and we're going to hold it until the armor comes through, our armor.
Mm-hmm.
48 hours. We did all that. And then we got surrounded because the armor didn't come through, and we were there 9 days. And I think we came out, we went in with about 500, 400,
sorry, that's on my, that's oh, the phone
okay.
here.
We went in with about, get your secretary to handle it.
Yeah, I think it's off now, it's good.
Okay. We went in with about 450, something like that, 500 guys. And we came out with about 240. That was all.
Wow.
were killed, captured, and wounded. And that battle was called the Erzurf campaign. Mm-hmm. That was living hell. I mean, the Germans would break through our lines, and we were shooting them going that way.
Right.
And, you know, there's always a funny part to everything. Well, after we got relieved, we knew a couple of our guys got captured. They ran out of ammo. And we found this old shed and a house, if you will. And we were kind of